Mr. Stagg, you have more?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Agenda item number 10, Mr. Donald Watkins.
Already, right? Okay, got some more paperwork for you for this one as well. So this is a protested application, but we have new protests that came in yesterday, which are in the packet. So there's four separate protests here. They're kind of separated. Two that are state and two that are in the sheet. And then this document is a synopsis of all of the protests, in case you don't want to read them or whatever in the packet. We have the capability now to do that with our system. Once I enter a protest, I can print you out a PDF that just kind of encapsulates the brief statement we put in and who the protesting is. So they're all listed. And when we got the protest. So this is an application from Donald and Kristen Watkins to lease approximately 5 acres of horse planting ground in the Pocosin River in the city of Pocosin. A little background on this one. The original application was in an area offshore of Beach Road. It's an area that we received a large application a number of years ago. And it was immediately protested, both previous application and this one, at that location. Staff worked with the applicant to identify a different location nearby that staff believed at the time might be more suitable and might not cause as many protests. Didn't be wrong about that part of it, but so the applicant agreed to work with us. We re-advertised this application at the revised location, but it does remain protested by quite a few residents. So, the map that you see on the screen depicts both the current and the original application area. So, Mr. Watkins already has this lease right here, Beach Road, and this is the area he applied for. And we'll explain why in a minute. But eventually, we re-advertised for this area in this location. So the previous application, I believe, and Mr. Watkins can certainly address this when he gets up, is that he would like to do a small-scale aquaculture operation, cage operation. But that this lease turned out not to be very suitable. It is extremely shallow, very sandy bottom. So his thinking in conversations I had with him, he'd apply a little further offshore. And as you can see, it does get a little deeper. You can tell by the sandbars here. And that this area might be a little better suited to the activity he wanted to do. Because of the protests, he agreed, after we looked around to see if there was an alternate location, to move his application here and re-advertise it in that location. So again, we got this application in February of this year, and it is directly offshore and adjacent to an existing lease of the applicant. We did subject it to the normal public interest review, and it was protested quite heavily. Some of the protestants noted that we had received an application in this same area previously, and we have, and it's in your packet. A couple of evaluations, one related to that application, the Worcester Company of Virginia, that applied for this whole area, this entire area right here. It was a pretty large application. They also applied for another application over in Lloyds Bay at the same time. Both of those were taken to the commission. We did recommend denial of this one, and the commission did deny it. There was a lot of discussion at that meeting, both by the public and by the staff, as to whether perhaps this area should be set aside in some way as not to be leased or as public land ground. The commission opted at that meeting that they heard the Worcester Company of Virginia application not to do that. However, we did come back at the next meeting and held a public hearing specifically on that issue as to what to do about this area. And that evaluation is also in your package. After a lot of discussion at that meeting, there was actually no actual motion, but the consensus was that just leave it vacant. Now, staff told the commission at that time, both at the Oyster Company of Virginia application and at the public hearing about making this designated some kind of public way, that if they did not do anything, that it would be vacant ground, and we would have to accept new applications in this area on a case-by-case basis. Here's where we are today. We got another one right in the same area. Much smaller, but it's the same area that was applied for before. Again, I was requested by the city of Pocosin city manager to come speak at a work session back in April, and it was about leasing in Pocosin, but it was really driven by this application and citizens contacting city council about this issue. So I did go. I explained how the leasing system works to city council. I believe there's one or two members here, maybe if he's still hanging in here, on city council. And they really didn't take any public comment. This was a work session. There was a number of people in the public there, though, because this was on the agenda that they were going to talk about this at the work session, which is open to the public. Unbeknownst to me, but at that meeting, they asked me would I be willing to go in a separate room and meet with the applicant who was there and some of the citizens. I did. That was less than productive, I will say. But the end result of that was an idea of perhaps seeing if we could find a different location than this original application. So in subsequent conversations with Mr. Watkins, I identified this vacant area right here as a possible site that might work. And the reason is that the bottom is somewhat similar to where he applied. There is some hard bottom in that area. It's similar to over here. It's a sandy bottom, but it also has a deeper area offshore that drops off. And but the channel, the actual channel, is way out here. The actual marked channel. That I think is a duck blind that you see structure, not a channel marker. So we advertised this based on that. I got a number of continuing application. We notified everyone that had opposed it originally and said, we've moved this. We sent them this map and said, here's where he originally applied and you protested. Here's where we've moved it. We re-advertised it in the paper. We paid that cost and didn't make him pay two ads. The agency paid for that. And a number of people who protested this one continued to object to this new location. And we've gotten some additional protests just for this location, as the four you saw that I just handed you this morning, in addition to some others. To further complicate things, I picked this area because it's completely surrounded by existing leases. So one of the big objections of the protestants of either one of these locations is that it's going to be a navigation problem, that these areas are traversed by boaters, jet skiers, kayakers, and in this location, people said, you know, we actually go all the way out here on foot and recreate, and it's possible they do over here, too, because it's pretty shallow. And so it was a multitude of objections for those reasons. And they do apply at both locations. They are both shallow, at least the inshore part of this one. So, you know, they are legitimate, I think, objections. But we felt that all of these existing leaseholders can do anything you can do legally on a lease right now, which includes cages. Now, I don't know that anyone is doing cages on any of these leases, but they certainly have the right to do cages up to 12 inches. So any one of these leaseholders could put cages on their lease now. And this one's shallow. This one's shallow. This one, since Mr. Watkins applied, actually reverted at the end of June. Well, actually, it was because the owner was deceased more than 18 months, but we found out about it right about the same time the rent was due. So it is actually now vacant, and if you look at this map, you'll see that it's been applied for by the family of the deceased previous leaseholder. And it's not protested yet. Not sure the public is aware of it yet, but it's been on the maps for a couple weeks now. Right?
They are now.
So These two are riparian leases, and of course, there's an issue with them as well, that see how far offshore they are. Well, they are really old. Those riparian leases were there, I believe, when I came to work for the agency, but they're still valid. They're still the same owners, or they've been transferred forward. We're not really sure that's where Mean Low Water is anymore. It probably was 50 years ago when they were surveyed, but the shoreline has not only receded some, but sea level has risen. So they may not really be where they legally should be, but that's where they are. That's where they were originally surveyed. Now, I've had some discussion with my co-chief engineer, Hank, as to whether we should try to move these. That's a separate issue. We're talking about the ground offshore of those. So they're not going to affect those riparians. They are where they are right now. But that's another issue we're going to have to deal with. And again, this has been reapplied for and could or could not be protested. We'll see. But I want to give you all that background so you understood some of why staff actually thought this might be a better location. And I believe Mr. Watkins is going to address how he would potentially use this. I think he's going to tell you that some of this is probably also too shallow and he would like to use, but I'll let him address that issue specifically. We do have a lot of protests from people that live on Beach Road, Sandy Bay Drive, this whole subdivision here and over here. If you read the letters in the packet, a lot of them talk about this area, then it should be set aside. That really is a separate issue now because we're not really talking about this area that was the subject of that large application and commission consideration of setting it aside. I don't think the commission really want to consider just setting this little area aside. It's been leased in this area for years. There's been leases all around this, and I can't tell you for certain that there wasn't a lease here at one time. There could have been. Having said that, we do understand there's a pretty big, you know, group of people who have concerns about this, and that people do cut around this corner coming out of the Pocosin River. There's no doubt that that's true, but it is extremely shallow here. And cutting across here at low tide is ill-advised, I can tell you. The channel is out here, it's clearly marked, and if Mr. Watkins, and he puts cages and he marks them according to our regulations, we believe that the public will be warned, there will be signs. And like I said, anyone else in this area could put cages out as long as they're properly marked, whether it's shallow or deep area here. And if they create a navigation issue, we will address that and we'll make them move the cages. But we don't think per se here that this particular lease is going to create a particular hazard in navigation any more than cages anywhere else. And if they're properly marked, it could easily be avoided at high tide by going inshore room and at any tide by staying out in the channel. So based on all of that, our recommendation is, after reviewing the protest and the applicant's request and type of activity he's proposing, that we do recommend leasing this area of 8.16 acres or some smaller subset if the applicant or the commission deems a slightly smaller area might be appropriate. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Mr. Neal.
You flashed over just a chart a couple times, and I'd like to, not that one, regular old chart. There you go.
It's a half a foot right there. I mean, it is extremely shallow. But that contour line is that where you saw that change from sand to deep. And it drops off pretty quickly, as you can see. It goes from a half a foot, maybe a foot or two in here, to 7 feet pretty quickly.
All right, so Bennett's Creek's almost on the chart to the right there.
Bennett's Creek is around to the right. Okay. This is Roberts Creek, and this is Pocosin River proper.
All right.
So people do come out this way, and absolutely I don't deny that this is a shortcut to get out to the bay. But I'd say at a low tide, I wouldn't make that a shortcut. It's a half a foot of water right there. And that's, some days there's no water there. It's a really low tide. That whole area can ebb out.
Yeah, that's what I just wanted to know where exactly we were.
But here's the channel markers coming out of it, because this is the preferred deep travel way, is to go up here and come around.
Other questions?
Point 2 feet deep right there.
Other questions from the commission? Back to Mr. Stagg. Mr. Watkins present? Please come forward, sir. I need to swear you in. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
Donald T. Watkins, 84 Sandy Bay Drive, Pecosin.
Mr. Watkins, what do you want the commission to know about all this?
Okay, Mr. Stagg covered it very well. I just want to say a few things because there's a couple things up front. Number one is, and I wrote it down so I'm going to forget it, I agree with the protesters. I mean, you're all right. You're right on target. However, they do suffer from a little bit of misinformation, okay? Number one, there's no stainless steel cages going down. This is the material I use. I'll come right back. And I buy this from a lady in Matthews, 100-foot roll, $300. It takes me about $375 to build a cage, 16 cages of a roll. So I've invested quite a bit of money already, not counting 52,000 spat I have stuck in my backyard I can't put anywhere. So that's the cage. It's not stainless steel, folks. Your boat can hit that. It'll tear this up. I don't hurt your boat. You might lose a shear pin, maybe.
Hey, Mr. Watkins, could you do me a favor? Address the commission.
Okay. I just wanted to educate at the same time. Okay? That's the cage. These, by state regulation, can be, has to be 6 inches off the bottom and no higher than 12 inches. And that's what they are when I build the cage. I would have brought you a cage, but they're all in the water and they're full of seaweed and mud. You didn't want that in here today. So I brought you just the top of one, is all that is. Okay? There's no layers. You don't layer these things on top of each other. They can't support the weight like a stainless steel would. There's no steel stakes in the mud. These actually lay on feet on the bottom. Okay. They go in deep water only. I'm looking at on low tide, no less than 4 feet, 4 to 5 feet. So on low tide, you still got three or four feet on top of it, which is plenty for an outboard motor or a jet ski to go across. My cages go in the water around April, and they come out the first week of October. I don't work out there when the nor'east is blowing and the water gets cold. There'll be no cages in the water. As Mr. Stagg talked about, the only usable part of that whole area is that outside one-third towards the channel, seaward. That's the only part I'm going to use. Once again, from 4 to 5 feet out to that point. And that's it. That's all I'm going to use. There's no hazard to navigation. I cut around the same corner. I live in Robbins Creek. I cut around the same corner on medium high tide to half low tide. You can cut across in a small boat. Any other time, you can't, okay? And otherwise, I go in the channel. So it's going to be a very small area used, probably the size of this room initially. And there's no hazard navigation, and you have a million places to go across. It's a very large area, very huge. Well, a couple more things here. There was some talk going around that I was a point man for a corporate marine interest someplace, and I was going to start the lease, and the big boys are going to roll in and lease the whole place, and it was getting out of control. And, of course, the neighbors were upset about that, and I understand why. But I'm not. Just me. I'm retired Air Force, retired airline pilot. This is a hobby for me. I work full-time at it. I love it. It's fun to grow oysters. It's really a kick. I eat most of them, give them to my friends, and I want to sell to Bill Forrest Seafood in Pecosin and Graham in Hampton, and this other guy in Gloucester, whatever I have in excess, which usually 40 to 60 bushels I anticipate. That's all I have. It's a one-man operation, and I may hire somebody to help me for a day or two. That's it. There's no corporation involved. It's just me, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission?
So,
Mr. Tanker.
So, Mr. Watkins, this will be your first sort of attempt at caged aquaculture?
I've been doing it for about 3 years.
Been doing it three years?
It's behind my house. It's behind a no shellfish harvest area. So I grow them out in my backyard. But they have to go front to grow out and to freshen, as per state law. And I can't get them out front. I've lost this whole season because I was unable to use my lease. So I've already lost this year.
And then follow-up question, what's your take on Mr. Stagg's the location he's prescribed?
It's not ideal because it's not out where I can watch it.
Right.
It's around the corner.
But it's a
great compromise. I would love to have it. Okay. I'll work it.
You call it a great compromise.
I'll grow oysters. I won't endanger the public. in any way. I go wait on my way, not to bother anybody.
Sure.
I'll be near invisible. You might see me out there once a week, once every 2 weeks, for an hour or two. That's it. Other than that, I'll have minimal PVC posts erected. So I'll be pretty much invisible.
Great.
Mr. Watkin, how many cages are you anticipating putting down?
Well, I make my own. I have 40-some now, probably 80 to 100 total, which would not fill this room at that size, 2 feet wide, 3 feet long, 12 inches high.
Okay. Other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Oh, before you go, do you have anybody else you wish to have speaking on your behalf?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Watkins.
Thank you.
Well, I'll throw the offer out there in case somebody snuck in. Anybody in the audience wish to testify in favor of this project as proposed? Does anybody wishes to testify in opposition to this project? Please come forward. Whoever's first.
No, he's
not testifying.
Later.
I need to swear you. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Please state your name for the record.
I'm John Van Rosendale. I'm one of Mr. Watson's neighbors. I live sort of right there. And I'm neither in favor nor protesting. I just want to second what Mr. Stagg said. This area here, where the original lease was, is so shallow. You can walk out, you know, maybe 1,000 feet at low low tide, and not get your ankles wet. There's sandbars that come out here, so this I believe should be reserved for, you know, sailing and canoeing and kayaking, and no cages. We have Boy Scout canoe races here several times a year. We go around here with canoes and so on. The discussion about cutting across here, people do. In the middle of the summer, you see a boat stuck on the sand here maybe once a week. I mean, it just happens continually. But as long as the cages are deep enough, I have no objection.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next. Need to swear you and tell also. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got?
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Robbie Brown, resident 113 Sandy Bay Drive in Pison. Not sure how to get back on this thing, but if you can make it forth and that, but have it up one. My grandparents purchased the property 113 Sandy Bay Drive, which is approximately located here, in 1975. I'm 43 years old now, so I've been pretty much growing up there in my whole life. For reference, I think it's important to kind of give y'all a sense of scale, because you don't see measurements here. You know, we did have a few depth contours. That duck blind, per the city ordinance of Pocosin, is 300 yards. No, I lost my mouse, a little area there. Excuse me, that duck blind is 300 yards from my house, or my house by law. There's, you know, I got up this morning kind of thinking about this thing, trying to put some thoughts together for y'all, and I appreciate y'all hearing my comments. From that duck blind to the farthest point northeast, that would be unimpeded by any points of land, it's roughly 37 miles. And so when you're talking about storms and you're talking about fetch and intensity, it only has to blow northeast 30 knots for, you know, a limited amount of time to really generate some swell and some wave action there. You know, kind of a funny story is my duck blind that's sitting there is about 10 foot above the water. You know, I've got a 19-foot boat that pulls up underneath of it, and it doesn't have walls on it anymore because of the storm that we had in October last year. That duck blind is licensed. I license it every year. I have the repairing rights to that duck blind. You know, and that kind of I've been here today, and I've learned a few things. I've tried to pay attention, and you know, try to learn lessons from previous applications. You know, I understand y'all don't delineate riparian rights or get into the business of that, but there is a difference in riparian rights for duck blinds. You know, I go to 8-foot mean low water. When I looked at the application for the riparian lease that's in place right here, it was actually my grandparents that has now since expired because my grandparents passed away. And I didn't really even know that I had a riparian right to have an oyster ground lease there. So I've learned something else through this process. I lost my train of thought now. Anyway, you know, going to the riparian rights. Yeah. The license for that, I'm limited to 250 feet from the low water mark, as I understand it. I received the application to do so. And so to me, there's a little ambiguity there for the riparian rights for oyster grounds versus the riparian rights for duck blinds. You know, and to me, if I'm going to have riparian rights for oyster grounds, they need to be usable, and they need to be usable in a traditional sense. To me, and just in general, having cages out here on a sandbar flat doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. If I'm going to have riparian oyster rights, they ought to be in waters that would sustain traditional oyster harvesting methods. And maybe you guys can't get into the legalities of oyster cages versus traditional.
We could, but it's really a simple question here. Is that specified in the Code of Virginia?
Okay.
And the only people that can change the Code of Virginia is the Virginia General Assembly.
Right. Okay.
We can't.
And again, I'm just trying to point out some thoughts that I had, and I appreciate y'all listening to. You know, one thing I would like to point out is the City of Ecosin has spent a tremendous amount of funds promoting a blue way, which goes from the boat ramp down here at Hunts Neck around the corner to Wren's Road, Lions Creek, I believe. Best sense of direction for you guys. To me, this oyster ground, and I understand from Mr. Martin, and I had discussions with him, and I hear him saying that, hey, I only have interest in the deep water there. Because he mentioned to me, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but that the low tide areas don't benefit him. You know, I don't know what regulations or restrictions y'all plan on placing or can place on him to make sure that that doesn't happen. You know, the water depth there, you know, my kids walked from my beach, and you can almost get to that duck blind on low tide. I'm going to tell you, it's up to your waist. My daughter had her 16th birthday party out there this past Sunday, and the girls were out there on paddle boards having a great time. When this land was originally delineated, I don't know that the folks that did so had in mind traditional oyster grounds versus caged oysters. To me, I just can't fathom how, if they were delineating this little triangle piece, how it made sense to put cages on that low ground. And so I'm concerned about that. You know, I heard sea level rise mentioned. What I can tell you, as a kid, I used to take a John boat, and I'd go out on this bar and get soft shell crabs every weekend with my grandmother. That bar, as it sticks out to Hunts Point, has always been, you talk about salve, I mean, it was up to your waist. You had to wear tennis shoes or you'd get crushed by blue crabs. But what's happened is the nor'easters, you know, especially Isabel, et cetera, that bar has shoaled up and shoaled up and shoaled up, and it's gotten shallower and shallower, and it's just choked out the salve. That's why it's not there. You go put oyster cages on there, and I'm afraid you'll never see it back there. It's starting to come back in little spots. I don't know if the guys have gone out there and inspected it to see what's in existence today, but it's definitely gotten a lot worse, and I hate to make it even, you know, not ever give it a chance to grow by putting cages out there. I mentioned my duck blind. I've got my duck blind sitting there. I think you guys can see it. It's that little white speck there. I'll put it right here. And again, for reference, 300 yards from my house, I duck hunt out there. I hear that he's not going to want to use the thing. You know, duck season goes from September to, you know, the end of January. But I don't know what regulations y'all can legally place to ensure me that when I want to go out there duck hunting, my decoys aren't going to get hung up in little cages as small as they are, what have you. You know, I don't know if there's a radius around it. I mean, I can't shoot more than 100 yards with a shotgun. You know, the shot just doesn't go that far. It's not very effective in killing ducks. But I think if you took a 100-foot radius, or I mean, excuse me, a 100-yard radius around that duck blind, it pretty much takes out what's, you know, I'm hearing is usable out there. Hadn't heard a whole lot. I believe he did mention the permitted number of cages, the size of the cages, seasonality. I don't know what the term of the lease is we're here talking about, so I'm pleading ignorance on that.
10 years.
10 years, so it's a significant amount of time. I've got to maintain access from my house to deep water. Again, this picture is not very clear, so it's kind of hard to see, but say my dock's going to be right there. I've got to be able to get through this ground to that deep water. You know, I have boats, I duck hunt, I fish, you know, everything. I've got to have access to that deep water. If the shallow water that showed up on a previous map's less than a foot, you know, I've already got to trim my motor up. You know, I got a 19-foot skiff. I've already got to trim my motor up so I can get in and out without tearing my prop up. If there's a cage that's 6 inches above that, not to exceed 12, I mean, it's certainly out of the water, and so I've got to have a channel to get in and out to the deep water. I mean, you guys can see that that's the closest point, obviously, to my riparian rights from a duck blind. I know you guys are, I know we're here, you know, I love oysters, I love aquaculture. My minor and graduated from East Carolina was coastal resource management. I love eating oysters and all that. I absolutely appreciate what they do for water quality in the bay. But we've also got to be responsible about where we allow cages to be, how that's going to affect safety, how it's going to affect recreation, how it's going to affect the crabbers, how it's going to affect the hall seiners, the fishermen, all that stuff. I'm just concerned that if we don't limit this application to a very confined area and address the depth and address the seasonality of everybody that's trying to get along out there, I think it's going to become a bad situation. Impact of weather events. We had a horrible situation. I mentioned the fetch. A good buddy of mine who's a commercial fisherman, his uncle, David Dryden, I mean, you guys might have known him. He passed away from when he capsized his boat on York Point. You know, they found his body a day later, you know, all the way up the Pocosin River. So if we have a big storm event, I'm going to tell you all these pots that that we're talking about here, or cages, I guess is a proper term, they're going to end up somewhere between where David ended up in my house, and you know, they're going to end up in all these houses and stuff. I think that this proposed use of the cages differs from traditional oyster planting grounds. Therefore, the impacts are different. I guess I understand that y'all's hands are tied a little bit there. But I'm just anxious to hear that if you do approve this, what restrictions y'all can really put in place to help address these concerns in accordance with the applicant's plans for the area. I appreciate your time. If y'all have any questions.
Commissioner, have any questions, Mr. Brown? Mr. Tankard?
So what you're describing then is what we call, our VMs, VMRC calls a high energy area. There's a lot of storms you mentioned in your testimony. So in a northwest.
Northeast,
sorry. Yeah, a northeast is your fetch, but the northwest is somewhat protected. Is that what you're saying?
You know, I didn't click on Google Earth this morning and look to the northwest. I'm going to tell you it's miles maybe.
But you would testify it is a high energy area.
Absolutely. Yeah.
From your experience as a resident of the area.
It's an annual thing I deal with. You know, my duck blind right now, as I said, does not have walls on it, does not have a floor on it. There's pylons there, there's band boards around it. In the seasonality of things, I wait every year, I pray to God that we don't have another hurricane like Isabel, so that I make the investment to put my duck blind in that. So that's what kind of conflicts with the months that I heard is I don't think we took into consideration hurricane events or tropical events because, you know, I don't build my duck blind back till September. Hopefully after the hurricane's gone. I mean, you get some after that, and that's just a part of the game I play, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. One thing I didn't say is, I mean, if you wanted to plant seeds out there and harvest the things traditionally, like everybody else does up and down that river, I mean, I know the folks that have all the leases around there. They dredge them, they tong them, you know, they actually, you know, it's a different application. And I think that's really what was in mind when that little triangle was delineated. But
any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all's time.
Anybody else wish to testify? You need to swear in. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Charles M. Salvall. I live in a resident of Pocosa, and I'm a city council member.
Welcome.
And I thank Ben Stagg for his comments because he said a whole lot of what I wanted to say. And I just came back 2 weeks in Florida, and I caught an upper respiratory infection that I'm trying not to share. I had a number of phone calls from residents. And after Ben did come to the city council, I referred all the residents that make comments to me to contact Ben Stagg. I told him that there was nothing at the city level that we could do, that it was Ben Stagg and he could talk to. Most of the comments had to do with safety issues. I just heard Mr. Watkins say that he only intended to use the deep one third of that area. There's been no comment about. Earlier location is in a very high energy area, okay? And the residents were concerned about cages being blown into their houses. And for at least all of my life, residents of Pocosin have used that sandy area around Hunts Point for clamming, catching crabs, and swimming. People bring their boats up into the shallow water where it's about 2-3 feet, anchor their boats and put the kids overboard and they go swim and so forth. The cages in that shallow water area, I am concerned, so with the people who talk to me, present a serious safety hazard. I recently had to take the water safety course in order to operate my little sailboat. Many people in Pocosin do cut that corner there when the tide's not really low. And there's nothing in the safety course that says anything about how oyster cage areas are marked. And cages that are just a little bit below the surface do present a navigation hazard in shallow water.
Two signs.
Yes, sir.
There are two signs. They're required to be marked with two signs.
Okay. But there's nothing in the boat or safety course that I'm aware of, okay? If you take that course to get your license to be able to operate your boat, there's no mention of how it's marked. I'm going to venture to say that most people operating small boats have no idea about how oyster cages are marked. And in that very shallow water there, I'm concerned that there will be an accident. Somebody will get thrown overboard, maybe break an arm or leg, get caught between cages, and have a serious incident. Mr. Watkins said he's only intended to use the deep water. Okay. Cages in deep water won't present a navigation hazard. The shallow water, I believe that they do. And I think Mr. Stagg just covered all of my other points.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Hope you feel better. Does anybody else wish to testify? You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Kate Queen, and I live 180 Beach Road, right around the corner from this area. And I was here back in 2011 when the larger application was submitted. And I think a lot of things Robbie covered, and the council member just covered, but a couple of things that I do wonder about, you know, for the same reasons that the application was denied or rejected in 2011, as far as I know, it really, with the exception of a small area to the, I guess that'd be to the west of the triangle, it's still in the shallows. You know, when you think about, and I don't know what the weight is of the cages, or not cages, but of the enclosure is going to be, but it can go from 3 knots to 20 knots in a very short period of time out there. And I know that when debris washes upland, it's up to the homeowner to clean it up. As a good steward, that's what you do, and that's what you sign on for when you have property out there. But if Mr. Watkins is a private citizen, what is his game plan to clean this stuff up when these storms happen? And they do happen. You know, as far as looking at the best use for public lands, you've got people that use it for recreation. I mean, coast and sailing team practices right around those areas when it's sailing season. And even if everything is cleaned up by, I think you said October or before the bigger nor'easters hit in the wintertime, we still get summer squalls that can be pretty violent out there. I don't know, again, and I know this has been talked about, I don't know what the process is. If you can apply for ground leases, is there a process to apply to have something, parts of these areas set aside as protected? Or because the other thing is, this is the third application that I've been aware of since 2011, and it's kind of like Mr. Stagg said, these are going to continue to happen. And even if this is set aside now to do, for a private citizen to use as to do private aquaculture or put these crates out or cages out there, what's to say in 5 years he doesn't change his mind? Is there something that would prevent him from turning this into a commercial situation, a commercial development? I think as far as, everything else that would apply, I think everybody's pretty much touched on it, but I guess my real question would be, and I know where Robbie's duck blind is, that was another thought I didn't even have until today, but he's out there hunting ducks, that poses another, he's out there enjoying duck hunting, but you've got these other things that are out there. And I just think with all the traffic that goes around there, and you really can see someone that's not familiar with that area getting stuck in sandbars and they're camped out there. What if you've got, even if they are marked appropriately, if you've got kids on jet skis and they're going, 35, 40 miles an hour, by the time they see those markers, is it an appropriate amount of time? I mean, you think about just bacteria that could be growing on those cages. That can create a nasty health hazard if somebody clips their, if they get clipped on it. Sets up for all sorts of other infections and everything else. So I don't know what the process is to look into having some of these areas set aside for public use or how that process works. But okay. I think that for this application, and I believe in aquaculture and for all the benefits that it brings to the water, I just don't think that this area is the right area for this application.
Thank you, ma'am.
Appreciate your time.
Is there anybody else in the audience that wishes to be heard? Please come forward, sir. I need to swear you. Please raise your right hand.
Yes.
You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God. Please state your name for the record. Mr. Cox, can I ask a favor?
Yeah.
Could you confine your comments to issues that have not been addressed so far? The commission has heard a lot of things than already there's been.
I think there may be a slight overlap, but I'll try and minimize that. So
that would be
the continuity of my presentation.
That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
my comments will center on the first application area, not the second.
Let's not, because I think that's pretty much off the table at this point. The revised application is 8.16 acres, and it's to the left there in the Pecosin River. Is that not correct?
Okay. That's correct. I mean, if he wants to speak at the public comment period, I guess he could cover this. But
as far as I know, the original lease has not, application has not been
It's been moved. It's no longer where he originally applied. It's been moved.
Okay, so it's not existing.
No, it's been physically moved to a new location. So,
the original location is now left
at Hunts Point. And his lease is still there.
No, I understand the approved lease. I'm talking
his application was re-advertised in a new location.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yep.
So what we're saying is that that application that I protested is gone.
Yes.
Been withdrawn.
It's not,
that spot.
It's not withdrawn. It's got the same number.
The same number, but it's not.
We re-advertised it in a new location.
It's
superseded.
It's not in the same spot.
Right.
Correct. And it is not before the commission at this point.
Good. Okay. Thank you. I'm just
well, that was the easiest testimony I've ever heard.
I think my testimony could be useful to you. Yes, sir. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. Mr. Cox here, just because I got a bit of a kind of a procedural question, be happy to hear from you in the public comment period for that bigger area that the previous application was part of. So I'll tell you what, why don't you let us get through this application, and then I'll open the door for you for public comment.
Just leave your stuff right here.
Thank you, sir.
Certainly. So, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify against the application here that's to the left in the Pecosin River? Okay, then seeing none here, this public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action for Mr. Watkins' application here for 8.16 acres. Mr. Zedra.
Yes, staff. Is there a way to narrow or shrink that application area to that water, say, that's going to be, you know, 3 or 4 feet on mean low water, so that there would be no navigation issues?
Absolutely. We could draw a line from right here to right there, although that would be pretty small. I would suggest, you know, maybe something like this. If that will suit Mr. Watkins, I think that's what he said, is he really wants, I think, the deeper area, not the shallow area. And this is 8 acres. He applied for 5. Well, we have some leeway in adjusting that for survey, but this was just, we surveyed the whole area that was available there.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
And Mr. Watkins and I have talked about that, and he was more than willing to shrink this some for whatever reason, I believe.
Mr. Watkins, did I just see your head nod yes?
Yes, sir.
So we can make this 5 acres instead of 8, which is exactly what he applied for, and reduce all of that inshore area out of it.
Mr. Neal?
I have a bad looking face because I'm kind of getting a little off top of duck blinds.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
All right, they're permitted by DGIF,
yes.
But when it's over our bottom, what happens there?
Well, we really have two options here. We surveyed this because we just surveyed the big area. We didn't attempt to carve out the duck blind in any way. We could put a buffer around the duck blind and make a donut hole in the middle of this thing, but it's completely two different entities that regulate these, and we have lots of leases with duck blinds on them, and as far as I know, they really very rarely cause any problems.
Do they have to have any VMRC permit to build a duck blind over our bottom?
No, this is the one thing on the subaqueous bottom that
we have nothing.
VMRC
to do
doesn't
with.
Regulate. It's
and so they could build a duck blind if they get a DGIF permit over an existing lease.
Yes.
So there's nothing.
That's okay. Correct.
Okay, that's something I did not know. Thank you. And I guess there's Hunter rules. I mean, you can't harass a hunter. So that there's some certain. Anyway, he can duck hunt.
He can duck hunt. Right. We would hope that they could amicably resolve any issues, but you know,
And as I recall, Mr. Watkins' testimony, Mr. Brown's testimony, it was Mr. Watkins would use this till around October in each year. Mr. Brown would be duck hunting September till, you know, the end of the year. So there would be a little bit of overlap, but one would hope and assume that good neighbors would be able to reach accommodations that didn't involve us or other enforcement activities.
As I noted earlier, the regulation does require that if he puts cages on it, he has to put a minimum of two signs warning the public of an aquaculture structure. He can put more than two, but he has to put at least two.
More discussion? Mr. Zedner?
Now I got a motion.
Well, what's your motion? By the way, hold on. Mr. Tankard, you got a discussion point?
Yeah, I just, my point just I wanted to make is that, as Mr. Brown testified, this is a high-energy area, and there are ramifications. He suspects, and I agree with him, when we have events like hurricanes and tropical storms, that these cages won't stay there. And what does that mean for us? I think that cages floating around or and other parts of where they're not supposed to be are not a great idea. It just doesn't look like a very good spot to have cage aquaculture, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I've seen a lot of aquaculture in the last decade or so, and this does not look like a great spot. That's my...
Okay. Mrs. Cohen.
Mr. Stagg. How would you compare this to Windmill Point? We allowed cages on Windmill Point.
This is less dynamic than Windmill Point.
And have there been any issues?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. France.
Yeah, I see these pictures of this duck blind. And I guess the best area would be just outside of this duck blind in these pictures.
I understand your question. At least right now, the duck blind is in the middle of the proposed lease area.
But the best area for the cages would be just outside of that duck blind.
I think as Mr. Brown testified, and if you look at this picture, you know, this right here is where it starts to drop off in depth.
Uh-huh.
That's really, I think, where you get into the area that gets to the depth Mr. Watkins wants.
Right.
Offshore of that line.
Okay.
The duck blind is in that area.
What's the depth from the duck blind inshore?
Foot to a half a foot.
I mean, I'm looking at these pictures with boats and jet skis and everything else in the world running back and forth across this close to shore.
Well, as I said, I didn't deny that people do cut across here and use this area. But we have cages right around the next creek off the screen here. They're in water very similar depths. There are cages in Pocosin. This is not the first cage,
right,
at least, that has cages on.
But this is a point. Is that similar to the other Pocosin location?
The other one is not on a point, no. But mm-hmm. The Windmill Point one that Kellum's talked about is on the bay.
There's some depth there, if I remember. Is that correct?
Pretty shallow.
There's a lot of boat traffic around Windmill Point.
Sure.
And there's a lot of folks, I'm not trying to discount. There is a concern, and we have a concern about cages moving. But the regulation does say that the applicant's responsible. If you find them scattered, he's responsible for getting them up. There is a penalty in the regulation.
Do you have an idea of how much one of these cages, 2 by 3 foot, full of oysters, weighs, probably?
Jim might.
A lot.
40 pounds
when they're little.
40
pounds on a level up to a bushel
and a half, so a bushel is...
150
pounds.
Yeah, something like that.
Mr. Seeger.
I move that we shrink the oyster lease to the proximity that the staff had where that you can see the deep water line is there. And then also, as part of my motion, is that we restrict the rest of that lease for public use so that we don't continue to get applications for that additional area.
So would that be a technical set-aside?
Yes, for public use.
I'll second that.
Was that?
You're cringing.
Yeah. Matt may want to weigh in on that. Second part of the motion.
To do a set-aside, you really probably need to do a regulation. You probably need to advertise. Is that how past practice?
Yeah, I mean, that was really sort of the anticipation from the previous application, is that we had a public hearing to determine whether to go with a regulation or some action by the commission to set this large area aside over here. So it would take some additional, I think.
Notice and stuff before we do
all right,
that.
So what I guess my motion will be is to shrink the lease to the appropriate level of water there that would not cause a navigation issue on Main Lone Water.
I second that.
Motion by Mr. Zedron, second by Mr. Miner. Is there discussion on the concept on the motion? I'll call a question. Mr. Tankard.
No, I just, like I say, I'm having a hard time getting over these 27 different people who are protesting, and it's precocious. And, you know, there are a lot of, seems to me, I know what we did in the Windmill Point or Stingray Point, but just a lot, there are a lot of protesters here, and I think there's a lot of use in this area, and I just don't think it's set up for aquaculture, caged aquaculture.
There are a lot of protests. Some of them were the original application, and some of them reprotested this one, but not everybody did.
Sure. So motion by Mr. Zedron, and it was a second by?
Mr. Miner.
Mr. Miner, correct?
Yes.
I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
Chair votes aye as well, so the motion passes 6-1. Mr. Watkins, you got a smaller lease? I'll just say I'll expect you to abide by the conditions that you promulgated to the commission here today for the time of season, number of cages. Please make sure this is very adequately marked. Mr. Stack, can you estimate the water depth as Mr. Zedron's motion indicated?
I don't know that I can exactly do that, but I can tell you what I think we just did. Try to do it.
Maybe to clarify, we're talking 4 or 5 foot of inland water. Does that dune as far as going to migrate over time?
Mr. Watkins said he was looking for about 4 feet of water. Mm-hmm. So we could certainly attempt to survey this so that we start the inshore line at that depth. It will get deeper as you go further onshore, because it does. It just does. So I don't know where that line is on this particular drawing, but it's going to be somewhere between that duck blind and that sandbar is where it's going to have to start. It's going to be less than 5 acres, I'm pretty sure. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to be the case.
He'll put a lot of cages on 3 acres.
That's true. Does that help clarify, Ms. Brent? All right, thank you all very much for civil discussion here and airing your views so civilly.